and what the Holy Spirit is doing globally, which is very important. I mean, I love what he's doing right here, but I also love what he's doing all over the place. We understand that we've got churches everywhere, all kinds of denominations that are preaching the kingdom. And as such, people are turning their hearts and their lives over to Jesus. We, of course, understand that there will be people who would never come here. You know what I'm talking about. But maybe they'll hear about Jesus in a church that's right for them. And so we bless those churches. That's my point. We want to be blessers of the churches that God is raising up and where his word is spoken. So, start this way. In 1970, way back then, this is according to a book by James Rutz. Now, this is a couple of years old, so things may have changed a little bit. There were 71 million core apostolics. What on earth is a core apostolic, you may ask? Well, he defines a core apostolic as a born-again believer with a vision to reach out to the world. So he's not talking about Christians that come on Sunday and then the rest of the week is as usual. He's talking about people who really have a heart for the lost, who are involved in missions programs and evangelism. They're not just coming on the Sunday. So, 1970, there were 71 million. In 2005, there were 707 million of these core apostolics. That adds up to 11% of the planet. Okay? Core apostolics are increasing at a rate of 8% per year. Now, if you were to graph that, now graphs are never straight. They always kind of go up and down and all that. But if you were to graph that on a straight line, by the year 2032, everybody in the world would be a Christian. Now, that's how close we are. Now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we are told, look for the signs of the times. And so when everyone has heard the gospel, that's kind of a big one in terms of the signs of the times. We've got some very dear friends who work for Wycliffe Bible Translators. And we support them, and so we get all their material. But a number of years ago, there was a presentation where we noticed that some of the projects that Wycliffe began, Wycliffe goes out into unreached people groups, learns the language, translates the language into the Bible. Some of the projects begun in the 1940s were finished in the 1980s. In other words, it took 40 years to reach one unreached people groups. I mean, that's a long time. People that went out, they gave their lives to this. Okay? 40 years so that one little tribe could hear the gospel. But we also noticed that some of the projects began in the 1980s were finished in the 1990s. With the advent and use of computers, they've also understood their universal linguistic laws that they can apply to any kind of language. And so the project now are coming down to about 10 years. But Wycliffe was asked, how many unreached people groups are left? And the answer was 1,270. Now, when I heard that, my heart sank, to be honest. I'd like to be raptured. 1,270? You've got to be kidding me! Well, the next question that Wycliffe was asked was, with your present resources, and again, this was a number of years ago, how long will it take to reach these 1,270 unreached people groups? You know what their answer was? This is, I think, about 7 years ago. Their answer was, within the decade. Real close we are. Real close. This is really good news. Okay, in 1960, there were 24 non-believers for every believer. Today, there are 6. That's how quick it's moving. You remember the Welsh Revival, early 1900s. Over the course of about 2 years, approximately 200,000 people surrendered their lives to Jesus, became Christians. But I want you to know that every single day today, across the globe, 185,000 people surrender their lives to Jesus. In other words, there's a mini Welsh Revival every day now. That's how big the thing is getting. In China, there are 35,000 people every day that give their lives to Jesus. Unbelievable. There's an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to a guy who was a missionary in China, and he said to me, the best thing that happened to Christianity in China was Mao Zedong. Now, I kind of blinked my eyes, and I'm thinking, isn't he the communist guy that hated Christians? And this missionary said, That's the one. He said, you know what he did? I said, tell me. He said, he kicked out all the evangelicals. So I'm still blinking my eye. You know, I'm thinking, I'm just not getting where he's going on all this. I consider myself an evangelical. But he went on to say, he kicked out all the evangelicals who did not believe in signs and wonders. So all you had left were these Christians who did believe in signs and wonders. And so what happens is, you'd have one of these Christians walking along, they'd see someone who was hobbling along, can I pray for you? And they always say yes. And so they would pray, God would heal that person. And they would say what Jesus would say, then say after the person was healed. Don't tell anybody. Well, what a waste of breath. They're not going to shut up. They're jumping, screaming, running around, praising God, just rejoicing with everything they got. Well, of course, that draws people closer. What happened? What happened? This guy prayed for me. I'm healed. I've been like this for 20 years and now I'm free. And so, oh. So now they go to this person, this Christian, say, can you pray for me too? What are they going to do? Say no? Go, God, go. They pray for the other people. They get healed. They're jumping around, screaming, yelling, running all over the place. It draws a bigger crowd. It draws a couple of guards. But you see, the guards need healing too. And so they're coming forward and receiving that healing. And the church is being multiplied so that today there are 115 million Christians in China. China today sends out more missionaries to the rest of the world than any other single nation. And until recently, it was illegal to be a Christian in China. How's that for go, God, go? Not too shabby at all. Okay, let me talk about some Muslims. Now, first of all, let me just say this. As we look toward the end times, we don't exactly know how this is all going to come together. But I do know what the call is for you and me in terms of Muslims. Love them.
Amen.
Love them. Now, I have never been successful in arguing a Muslim into the kingdom. I tried. Now, others have been successful. I've never been successful, okay? But in the main church, virtually every single week, a Muslim walks forward and surrenders his or her life to Jesus. And, of course, we go up and say, why are you doing this? I mean, to our knowledge, none of us have talked to these people. And the answer is always the same. I had a dream. And they always say, God revealed himself to me. Okay? So let me give you some statistics. Muslims are increasing at a rate of 2% per year. But I want you to know there have been more Muslims that have turned to Christ in the last 10 years than in the past 1,000 years. There have been more. I believe I did tell you the story of Mina Nervosa, but I'm going to tell it again. Mina Nervosa, she's written a book called Miracle of Miracles. All right? She was born in Iran. Her father was one of the Ayatollahs. Incredibly, God found her. I mean, that's a miracle in itself in that nation. God found her, and she gave her heart to the Lord, recognizing that if her parents ever found out, they would kill her. Yeah. I mean, not just abandon her. They would actively seek her out to kill her. That's how it is. And so she knew she had to be very careful. And on Thursday night, she would go and meet with her friends. She'd tell her parents, you know, because they asked, where are you going? Going to meet with some friends, going to be with some friends. And they would pray together and read the scriptures very quietly. And then she'd come home. Now, in that nation, for the most part, marriages are arranged. You know, your parents and the other person's parents, they get together and they arrange this wedding. And usually, you do not get to meet who you're going to marry until the wedding day. Now, guys, how would you like to lift that veil and go? You know, as a Westerner, I just can't imagine how scary that would be. You talk about praying. Anyway, Mina... She says it's scarier for the women. Anyway, Mina did get a chance to actually meet the guy she was betrothed to. Now, when I say meet, he stayed at one end of the room with his family, and she sat at the other end of the room with her family. But she got to see him, which would be important to me. Anyway, she's sitting there thinking, how on earth is this ever going to work? I'm a Christian. How is this marriage ever going to work? And so really for a long period of time, I mean, she's just praying about this, and she just doesn't know what to do. Well, it so happened that one particular Thursday, her group couldn't meet. And one of the members of the group said, well, actually, I know of another group that meets on Tuesday. Would you like to go there? And so she thought, well, yeah, okay, I'll go. You know what's going to happen, don't you? She walks in the door. Her fiancé's there. He's a Christian. Unbelievable. Crazy unbelievable. Of course, you know, he was sitting in that room when he first saw her thinking, how is this ever going to work? So they absolutely are rejoicing. They share stories about how each of them gave their lives to the Lord. Marriage comes. They get married. They're just so, so happy. But recognizing they've got to be very, very, very careful. And it happened that the day they got found out, the day the authorities walked in to arrest them is exactly the same day they escaped out the back door. They escaped into Turkey, then into Great Britain, and are presently living in the United States. Now, if you were to ask her father, do you have a daughter? He would say, never had a daughter. I do not have a daughter. Don't know what you're talking about. Now, fast forward 20 years. 20 years goes by. Her father, this Ayatollah, goes out into the desert. He drives out in the desert. I mean, 100 kilometers into the desert, just sand. Puts his prayer mat down, prays, gets up, and discovers he's locked all the doors on the car with the keys in it. And this, I mean, this is a very dangerous situation. I mean, there's not even a rock. It's just sand. You can't even break a window. You throw sand at a window, yeah, it'll break. So he doesn't know what to do in this blazing heat. So he kneels down to pray again. Now, these are his words. He said, as soon as I closed my eyes, I smelt the fragrance of fresh baked bread. He opened his eyes, and there was a basket with a cloth right in front of him. He lifted the cloth up, and there was fresh baked bread. And he says he heard an audible voice, I am the bread of life. I am Jesus. He is freaked out. I mean, he's jumped up. He's looking all around to see who might be there. He's walking around the car. He's looking underneath the car. There's nobody there. Okay? He looks. All the doors are unlocked on the car. He freaks out again. He jumps into the car, drives home, and tells his wife. His wife hears the story. She hits the roof, says to him, for 20 years you have denied me access to my daughter because she was a Christian, and now you're one of them. He freaks out again. I'm what? Well, sure enough, that night, God gives him a dream, reveals himself, and says to this Ayatollah, I want you to go and tell the story of what happened in the desert to 8 other Ayatollahs, starting with this guy. Okay, now, this is like a death sentence. Yeah. Yeah. But he can't deny what's happened. So with fear, trepidation, he drives into the office the next morning, and the first guy he meets is the first guy on the list that God gave him. And so he gulps, breathes deeply, and starts to share the story of what happened in the desert. And as he's telling the story, the second Ayatollah all of a sudden says, stop. Stop right now. You are not to talk of such things. And he drags him into his office, shuts the door, turns to him, and says, now tell me the rest of the story. So he tells him all that happened and the dream the night before. And then the second Ayatollah says to him, I want you to know that for years I have been a secret follower of Jesus. And I have something for you. He goes to his desk. He unlocks the bottom drawer and he pulls out a Bible. And he says, this Bible belongs to your daughter. I know where she is. Do you want to talk to her? The answer was, oh yeah. Bottom line, that whole family got to talk to that daughter. The whole family surrendered their lives to Jesus. Do you know how impossible this is? In Iran? Unbelievable. Go, God, go. Now, we are still waiting to hear what happened to the other 7. Okay, there were 8 on that list. We only got the first guy. So we're waiting to hear what has happened there. I want you to know, let me get this right, there are 2 to 3 million new converts in Iran. In Iran. God is just pouring out there. Connie and I were in Ghana a couple of years ago, and we were watching, the TV happened to be in English, which was a really nice, refreshing change, but it was the Al Jazeera a television program. And it was a panel of Muslims gathered around and talking about what was happening with the Muslim faith. And so they all shared, and then the moderator said, well, you haven't mentioned Africa. What's happening in Africa? And there's no response from anybody. But I guess the moderator, he really wanted to know. And you know, Connie and I are kind of watching this, and we couldn't believe what happened. Because one of the guys finally stepped to the microphone and said these words, we have lost Africa. The Christians are raising the dead. I love it! This is very significant. If you want to go on, what is it, six million Muslims? Yeah. Google 6 million Muslims convert. You'll see Heidi, one of the shots, and all, it's all, yeah, on Al Jazeera program, of all these Muslims just being baptized. It's unbelievable. Yeah, okay, I should mention that. 6 million a year that are converting. Now, what Heidi does is she knows that if only one person in a family converts, there's all kinds of trouble, huge trouble. So what she will do is she'll go into a village with her team, and they will ask for the chief, and the chief will come forward, and you know, there's always some kind of pain or sickness or something. And she will say, can we pray for you? The answer is always yes. She prays, God heals that chief, and the whole village turns to Christ. That is the consistent way that Christianity, in terms of what Heidi is doing, is occurring in Africa. I mean, it is an absolutely fantastic, wonderful thing. 2/3 of Ghana, West Africa, are Christians. 2/3. And that happened, there was a revival that began in the mid-80s that is just carrying forward. 1/2 of sub-Sahara Africa are born again. Half. The new video, 1040, predicts that China will be a Christian nation by 2020. That's really soon. Now, we understand nations aren't Christians. People are Christians. So whatever that means, it will be a Christian nation then, that the people will be Christians. South Korea is 50% Christian today from 0% 100 years ago. So we see that the Holy Spirit is really, really being poured out all over the place, which is, I mean, it is, what a day we live in. Do you know, there were people throughout centuries, Christians, who longed to see what we see every day and never did. There's an amazing, what a privilege to be born this particular period of time. My assumption is that most people here, by the way, we're going in that direction, when we pray for healing, don't have an issue with this. Of course God heals. Of course He heals. You and I, we've seen too much. We've seen it happen. My background is Grace Theological Seminary. It's the sister school of Dallas Seminary, the most anti-charismatic school in the world. I had my Scofield Bible, dispensational theology. Nothing happens in terms of healing or anything like that today. When the disciples died out, it ended. That's how it goes. That's what we're taught. And I believed it till I saw someone get healed. And then even more surprising, when I prayed for someone to get healed and God healed them, I thought, I got to change my theology. There's something wrong here. Of course God's active and alive. Show me where all of a sudden things in God's heart changed. What I read in Scripture is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, look at this. There are 52 countries in the world that report resurrections from the dead. Now, I don't mean, a friend of mine had an uncle who said that he thought that, you know how it goes. These are documented cases. They don't get in James' book, which is called Megashift. They don't get in his book unless they're documented. And if you get that book, there's a picture of this guy standing with a big smile on his face, holding his death certificate. Fantastic. Come on. So they've had to have a certificate that actually says they were pronounced dead, and then somehow, either because they're standing, they're breathing, or they have a certificate. Is there a certificate that says, no, he's alive? I don't know how it works. But proof, clinical proof. Australia, 76. Our own nation, Canada, 80. England, 84. Malaysia, 100. Mexico, 101. Mozambique, 103. New Zealand, 105. USA, 124. Just a short list. I've just taken a few. God is really active. I mean, I look at this particular aspect. Something I really want to be a part of is a team of people who pray for someone who's dead and watch God raise him back. I really want that. I really want that. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is better than anything I've shared so far. Way better than anything that I've shared so far. Listen to this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things. What could be greater than raising someone from the dead? How about raising two people from the dead? Come on! I mean, it's Jesus that's saying this. Do we believe him or not? I mean, the answer is, We're getting there, okay? 20 years ago, we prayed for 10 people for healing. God would heal one. And then we got to deal with the 9 he didn't heal. And it was miserable, okay? I don't know why God doesn't heal sometimes. I don't. I got a couple of theories. I don't know, though. And after you finish dealing with the 9th person, you think, oh, man, is it worth praying for people to get healed? Well, if you talk to the one God healed, oh yes, it is. I'm often the one who has the low-level faith. Now, I know it's just the mustard seed you need, but I'll tell you a true story. In Kenya, we were, Sunday morning, we're in this mud hut, a church, thatched roof, I mean, the real deal, Africa all the way kind of thing you'd imagine. And we just had a sense God was calling us to go for some healing. So I said, anybody in pain, just stand up, and there were about a dozen people. And I prayed, and I said, okay, now if you're free of that pain, just put your hand up. And they all put their hand up. I thought, oh, man, they don't understand. I said, if there's no pain at all, like you're completely, completely, totally, totally healed, I want you to put your hand up. And they all put their hand up. And I'm thinking, oh, man, they still don't understand. It must be my accent or something. You know, I say, what's with these people? So I called one guy up because I want to just explain, you know, how this sometimes works. Sometimes it's a slow thing, and sometimes we just build a fake. And so I said to him, you know, what was your problem when you came in? And he said, well, he had malaria. Now, with malaria, it's like every other day you have extremely high temperature, shaking, nausea. I mean, it's just absolutely debilitating. But he had been... he had a double malaria, so this mosquito had gotten him twice. So every day he was like this, and it had been that way like for 20 years. Can you imagine 20 years of that? So he came forward and he said, "There's absolutely, I'm absolutely normal. I've not felt this way in 20 years. I'm absolutely free." And I said to him, "Are you sure?" Now, just in case some of you are thinking, oh, I have such little faith and all this, that doesn't seem to be a huge issue to God. He seems to be quite able to break through even, but just needs that little bit of faith. Now, you know that thing where some people have been told, the reason you didn't get healed when someone prayed for you is because you didn't have enough faith. And if you don't have enough faith to believe this, how is God going to break through? Have you ever heard that kind of healing? Of course, the question begs to be asked, how much faith did Lazarus have? Yeah, he was that dead guy. Yeah. Faith level zippo. Zippo faith level, okay? But Jesus had enough faith for him, okay? Now, it seemed that nobody in that crowd, when Jesus prayed for Lazarus, nobody else had faith. I mean, not even you know, his sisters. You know, he's smelling at this point. Don't do this, you know? They're trying to discourage him. Okay? But he just goes for it, and out comes Lazarus. Unbelievable. So faith is a component, but you just need a little. There's lots of faith here. Lots and lots of faith here. Okay, Matthew 10, verse 8. This was what Jesus gave to his disciples as he sent them out. Okay? He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. They have never been sent out before. Okay? This is, as John Arnott would say, the beginner's list. Let me say it again. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Why don't you start by raising the dead? He didn't say, just pray for someone's back and see what God will do in healing the back. Oh, no. Raise the dead. Now, I would tend to think if you and I prayed for someone to be raised from the dead and God raised them back from the dead, backs are no issue. There's lots of faith for backs and all kinds of other stuff. Also notice that Jesus didn't say so much pray for the sick. He said heal them. You know, there's an element of faith that we're stepping into terms of that place of healing that we want to go for. Do you want to talk now or later? Okay. We'll do this first. Okay. We're going to exercise some faith. This is the part that I love. I love the most because I know there are people sitting in the congregation going, oh, I don't know. This could really backfire. And the answer is, yes, it could. Yes, it could. But as I say, 20 years ago, 1 out of 10. Today, North America, 6 out of 10. That's what I've noticed. It's about 6. It's moving in the right direction. You want to see 10 out of 10? Just go to a third world country. Seriously. It'll be a 10 out of 10. It is an amazing, amazing thing. My son, 14 years old, went to Nicaragua with us, went into a hospital with a third of the team, and went in with some of the team and prayed for about a third of the people in a hospital. By the way, a hospital in Nicaragua is nothing like a hospital here, okay? It's like a board that you lie on and nobody cares and all that stuff. So they prayed for about a third of the people. God healed every single one of them. Every one of them got up and went home. So my son gets home, and it's a Christian school he goes to, okay? He goes home, and he's telling the story. And his friends in his class are saying, oh, you don't really believe in that stuff, do you? Oh, he just turns to them and says, what are you, stupid? I mean, it's hard to argue someone who has seen it, who has experienced what God is able to do. You will never change them. You know, once you've tasted, you can't go back. I mean, this is where we want to live. I mean, this is where I want to live in terms of seeing someone raised from the dead. Lord, I really want to be part of that team one day. So, let's exercise some faith. If you're sick, if you're in pain, stand up. This usually takes a moment or two. And usually it's the spouse that said, you were complaining this morning about this. What are you still doing sitting down? You want to get healed or not? John would put it this way. Half the church is sick and the other half is broke. Well, I think we ought to be stepping into the fullness of all that God has. Connie and I, we're asking God for what we call a Moses anointing. Now, you know, 120 years old, Moses is still climbing mountains. He's not sick. He has not been sick. Not even his clothes wore out. Can you imagine the savings? But it seems when we get to our age, you're supposed to have aches and pains and stuff. Well, I don't really see that in the scriptures. I think what Moses went through is God's definition of normal. Okay? I think that's what normal is supposed to be, that you die healthy. That's what we want. We want to die. Well, better. We would like to be raptured, naturally. But if it comes to death, we want to die healthy without the aches and pains. And you know what? As we're praying this, it's happening. We're very, very free. My whole family has all kinds of arthritis. That would kill me as a guitarist. And I've got absolutely none of that stuff. No pain at all. It's really good. Now, there are things that could be still fixed and all that, but we're praying for that. And so we want to step into that. And I want to encourage you, let that be what normal is, how Moses lived. That place of freedom and strength and vitality, even at 120. Wouldn't you love to climb mountains? Come on, Everest. Wouldn't you love to be able to do that and know you'd be just fine? Say yes. Okay. You're not sure, are you? Okay. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you're standing up, I also want you to raise your hand. Now, keep it up. Now, everybody else, just gather around the people that have their hands raised, okay? When you feel someone has a hand on your shoulder, like the others, just reach out and put a hand on a shoulder. You can put one hand on one person, one hand on another, okay? When you feel that someone has their hand on your shoulder, you can lower your hand. So this will let us know who still needs someone to pray. There are three girls at the front who need some prayer. So I just need someone to come and put their hands there. Now, as we're doing this, someone over here still needs someone for prayer. If God heals them, is it because of the strength and power of God? Yes, or is it about us? It's not about us at all, is it? It's not about our strength. It's about what He is able to do. Okay? I'm looking around. Do I see any other hands up? Now, is your hand still up? Oh, you're okay. Okay. All right. Now, when I say go, I'm going to just get you to pray, okay, and speak healing over that person. But I'm only going to give you 5 seconds. Ready? Go. Okay, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Oh, that was way too short. Lord, if I pray a half hour, I'm sure you'd come stronger and do more things. No. I've seen people get healed just as someone placed their hand on them and carried on some other conversation. I've seen Steve do this. It's not about our perfect words. It's not about our correct theology. You know, one day we'll stand before people who are blind and we'll speak the correct theological words that Jesus would pray. See. Next. So 5 seconds is okay. So you've received prayer for 5 seconds. Check yourself out. Move around, bend over, stretch. You know how this goes. All right, now let's get a report back. How many of you are finding you're feeling better? Hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, now one of three things has happened. All right? You're feeling better, you're feeling the same, you're feeling worse. One of those three things is where we are, okay? How many are finding that the pain is worse? Okay, I don't see any hands. How many are finding the pain is the same? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Be honest, how many are finding it's the same? 4, 5, 6. No, how many are finding the pain is the same? Okay. What I thought. I thought I saw your hand go up later. Okay. Now, if Jesus could pray for someone who was blind twice, so can we. I'm sure he could have healed him the first time, but somehow he wanted to teach you and me something about praying again. So when I say go, I'm going to give you another 5 seconds. You ready? Go. Okay, that's enough. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. Okay, those of you that receive prayer, move around. See how you feel. How many are finding us a little bit better? Hands up. Hands up high. Want to see. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. How many are finding the pain is totally gone? Hands up. 1, 2, 3, totally gone? Okay. Those people that had their hands up for pain that's totally gone, you don't need to receive any more prayer. You can go find somebody else. And you can drag the other people that have been praying for you with you to find somebody else. So those of you that are still in pain, hands up. Okay? So I want you guys find somebody else with their hands up. We're going to pray one more time. Now, I want you to listen to this. Connie and I were part of the pastoral team that went to Mexico last week, 2 weeks ago. And we had the privilege of speaking at a church, and we had a time of healing. And there were probably 50 people, maybe more, that came forward. And I would say, as we prayed the first two times, about half the people were healed, which was really encouraging. But then we did something. We asked them a question. We said, when this pain began, was there anybody that said something or did something to you that hurt you, hurt your feelings or whatever? It may have even been you. You know, sometimes you fall down a set of stairs and you say to yourself, I am so klutzy, I am so stupid, and we speak a curse over ourselves, and we need to break agreement with that curse. We need to forgive ourselves. If someone said something to you, You're stupid. You're ugly. You're fat. You're thin. Whatever it might be. If someone has said something to you and you think you may have judged them, God may be calling you to forgive that person. We spoke this over these people and we led them through a prayer of forgiveness. As some of them identified, yes, actually someone did say something, or I said something over myself. And virtually every one of them was healed by the end. I mean, it was just an absolutely wonderful thing to see. So let's pray. If you can think of someone who may have said something, or even yourself, that may have hurt your feelings right around the time the pain began, just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. I'm so glad you're willing to forgive me. And I choose now to forgive, and then just whoever the person is, I choose to forgive this person for, and if anyone caused the accident, sometimes, you know, you get bucked off a horse, you need to forgive the horse, okay? It just works that way. I don't understand it. I just know it works. So I choose to forgive whoever, whatever, for this. Now, that's the first half. Let's continue. And dear Heavenly Father, would you forgive me of any judgments I may have made? I let my judgments go. Forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I pronounce you forgiven. As you have chosen to forgive, I pronounce you forgiven. Okay, now, check yourself. Yes, that's right. We did not speak words of healing that time. We just spoke words of forgiveness. Okay, how many are finding? It's better. It's a little bit better, a lot better. Hands up. Hands up high. Just kind of wave them a little bit so I can catch attention. Oh, that's good. Father, thank you. Thank you for your heart in bringing us into increased places of healing, wholeness, and life. Now, have a seat for a moment. As you are aware, we have seen people come forward for healing 100 times and go back to their seats just as unhealed as they were when they first came up. But the 101st time they came up, they were completely set free. What is that about? I don't know. But I think what it's saying to us is, don't give up. Keep knocking at the door. Keep asking the Lord for that place of healing. Ultimately, that parable that we read about the man at the door knocking for bread, and he's told, go away, I'm in bed with my children. He kept knocking, and the bottom line is, he got the bread. So, we just keep knocking. Don't give up. You may have had prayer 100 times, keep going for prayer. I believe it is the heart of the Father, and we're finding more and more keys. I mean, this thing that we heard about this last weekend, there's some new keys that are being shared. So we're learning, and it's getting better, but ultimately, bottom line is, it's the Holy Spirit who comes and pours out that healing. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. So how many of you want to be able to do signs and wonders and miracles? You know, we want to be part of those, right? Raising the dead like Jeremy talked about. Yeah, yes, God, you heard us, Lord. You know what you need if you want to see signs and wonders and miracles? You know what the very first thing is you need? A problem. That's not what we want to know, right? That's not what you wanted to hear. You need a problem so big that you can't even possibly imagine a way to get out of it. You need a problem so big that there's nothing that you can do to change it. How many of you got a problem like that? Wow, look at us. We're being set up for signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, you have to have it so big that you can't do anything about it. Otherwise, how are you going to see a miracle, which is something that only God can do? Isn't that right? And we're in a time period, as Jeremy was saying, when we see signs and wonders and miracles happening all around us. And we want to be able to experience more of the power and presence of God released into our everyday situations, don't we? Yeah. Now, God wants to do that through you and I. When we step out in faith, just like we did now, we were stepping out in faith, sometimes risking. You might think you're going to risk feeling a little bit foolish if you pray for someone in the grocery store and they don't get healed. Yikes. What happens then? Well, you know what Steve Long says? He just says, I'm practicing praying for people for healing. Can I practice on you? And then that way, if nothing happens, you can say, oh, well, I'll try again. Right? It lets you off the hook. But the thing is, we will have to step out and risk sometimes. And then we find out what God does. I'll tell you, people who aren't Christians seem to get healed faster than other people that are Christians. Yeah, I think it's God really proving his point often to those unbelievers, isn't he? And often it's his sign to them so that they will know that he's alive and that he is active and wants to be a part of their life. Well, how can we then, as you know, as believers, how can we be part of the people that reach out our hands and do things and see signs and wonders and miracles that are released as we pray for people? Well, in 1 Corinthians 3:17, it says that those of us who have been united with the Lord have become one with him in spirit. One with him in spirit. His spirit comes and lives inside us. In John 17, Jesus said that, didn't he? That he comes and he lives in us and we are in him. In fact, it's like we become so much like him that Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You know, we become dead to our own ideas and thoughts and everything and priorities and values. We come alive to what God wants and let him live through us. We become his hands and feet, don't we? Because he's living inside us. And that's so exciting because it's like we just become like a glove, you know, a floppy glove that, you know, you put a hand in it and all of a sudden, that glove comes alive and does stuff, you know? I mean, how many, we can be a floppy glove for Jesus, right? Can you do that? Just, it's like you just kind of hang there. Be available. And let him live his life through you. And then you can just watch and see the things that he does. Well, in order to be one with him like that, it's like we have to actually invite Jesus into our life, don't we? And he comes and lives, takes up residence inside us. It changes us so much, doesn't it? How many of you have been radically changed because Jesus has come to live inside you? Wow. And how many of you wish you never did that? It's worth it, isn't it? Isn't it exciting when Jesus comes and lives inside us and the way it transforms our life? You know, it's exciting because we start to see the power and the reality of God lived out through us in our lives all around us. Isn't that true? And even just this morning, we wanted to give an opportunity. If some of you have felt you've never asked Jesus to come and live inside you, because there are some, I believe, that are here. And if that's you, if you've never asked Jesus to come and live inside you and be a part of your life, and if you want to invite him to come in and see the reality of God lived out through your life, I'll tell you, all of us, the rest of us would totally recommend it, wouldn't we? Totally recommend it. It is amazing. And God so cares about each one of us. He wants to come and be a part of our lives. He doesn't want to be left out of our lives. He wants to come and be a part of our everyday lives. And so we want to give an opportunity for anyone that wants to do that. Now, you know, again, we don't want to embarrass anybody by pointing you out by that right now, but I want you to know if that's you, everybody else in this room has already done that at one time or other. And when we actually made a step, a decision saying, you know what, as of today, I want to ask Jesus to come into my life. So we want to give you that opportunity. But the second thing is, some of us, like Jeremy was talking about, some of us have unforgiveness issues, right? And that's what he was talking about, getting rid of stuff in our life. Unforgiveness, if you've got anger and resentment towards people, maybe you even have some known sin in your life that you're walking in, and those things can block us from allowing the flow of the Holy Spirit to flow through us and release that healing anointing and release the miracles and signs and wonders. It's like we get plugged up inside, right? Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, comes into us, flows out through us. Jesus said it's like rivers of water that flow out from us, right? And in order to flow like that, we have to get unplugged. And so even this morning, I feel like there may be some people that feel, you know what, I know I've got some stuff in my life, issues I've not dealt with, stuff that's going on. I know that I'm not really able to really release the power and presence of God because of what's going on in my life right now. And so if that's you, we want to give you opportunity as well to be able to get some prayer and to get that released out of your life so you can really start to flow with the Holy Spirit. So why don't we all stand up where we are? And so we want to start, first of all, by that. Just anyone who wants to ask Jesus into their life for the first time and come and be a part of your life and live inside you and let him change you radically. I mean, it's wonderful, a wonderful kind of change that brings, he brings the life of God that pours through us. Just so exciting. We want to invite you to come forward and just stand over on this side of the room. Over, Elsie, raise your hand there. You want to come to Elsie's side of the room here, and we'll have someone pray with you for that. If you feel that you've got something in your life that's been plugging you up, whatever it may be, or maybe you just feel like, you know, I just haven't been walking close to the Lord. I haven't felt really I'm operating in oneness with him, even though I know I am one with him. I've accepted Jesus, but I just feel like I'm not operating as one with him, because I haven't been walking close to him lately. If that's you, just come on over and stand on this side of the room, okay? And yep, just come on right up and come up as I'm talking. It said if you feel like there's something that's just, you know, that's stopping you from flowing in the Holy Spirit. Whether you think that maybe that there's something in your life like unforgiveness or any sin in your life or anything where you feel that you're just not flowing in the Holy Spirit. Fear, yeah, those, again, ungodly beliefs, you know, fears that we have because the enemy plagues us with fears and other things, puts shame on you, or all kinds of things that really prevent us from being able to flow in the Holy Spirit. Just come and stand on this side of the room over here, and we'll have people from the ministry team come. And ministry team, if you can come forward as people are coming forward right now, and to help to pray with these people. So ministry team, just come on up and pray for people. Again, I know that there's some more. If you've got some stuff that's just holding you back from being able to really flow in the Holy Spirit, yep, come on up. You have to come right up here in the middle as well. Just fill it out here, and the ministry team will come forward to pray for you. As Jeremy said, unforgiveness is a huge issue as far as blocking us from it coming into the fullness of what God has for us. So if there's any unforgiveness in your life too, and you want to be able to work that through today in order to get rid of that and in order for the Holy Spirit to really flow through, yeah. Just come on, step up even further. Can you come up closer so there's more room for people to come behind? Just come forward. Come forward some more. Yeah, yeah. Again, if there's some people that can come up and join with the ministry team, people as catchers, just in case anyone goes down, we want to keep people safe. If there's some more ministry team as well. Ministry team, come on up on this side. If you feel that you have any unforgiveness issues, I just want to lead you through corporately right now. If you just feel that there's some maybe resentment you've had towards some people and you need to work through forgiveness, I just want to lead you in a prayer of forgiveness. And just pray that together with me if you feel that that's you. Just say, Lord Jesus, just repeat it, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for any anger and resentment I've held. I'm going to choose today to forgive. And can you just say out loud, there's power in the spoken word, so just speak it out and just say, I'm going to choose to forgive, and say the person's name that you're choosing to forgive right now. Just say, I choose to forgive, and say that person's name as you're thinking of them. Say their name and then say, I forgive you for, and then name the things that you're forgiving them for. The things that they did, the things that they said, the way they acted towards you, the judgments they made towards you. Whatever it is that you need to forgive them for, just speak it out and say, I forgive you for those things today. I'm going to choose to forgive you. I know maybe they don't deserve it. They probably don't. But then we didn't deserve the forgiveness that God gave us either, did we? He gave us forgiveness as a free gift, and he'd like us to give a free gift of forgiveness, without expecting them to pay us back, without expecting them to make up for it in any way. Just say, I just release you from that right now in the name of Jesus, and I won't hold it against you any longer. Well, and just lay it down today. Can you lay it down? Lay it down at the altar today and just say, Lord, I lay it down and I'm not going to hold it against them any longer. I just release it and let them go in the name of Jesus. Yeah, let it go. Well, it's so freeing to let it go and not ever pick it up again. Say, Lord, forgive me that I've judged and I don't want to hold that judgment against them any longer. I lay it down and let it go today. In the name of Jesus, I let it go. And Lord, would you come and heal any brokenness, any woundedness in our hearts? Come and heal us with your love and your healing of freedom. Well, yes, Lord, touch us in the depths of our being where there's some hurt and woundedness. And I ask you to pour your healing love deep into our hearts, deep into our spirits, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And because of what happened, you might have believed some lies of the enemy that caused anger, that caused fears, maybe even some things against yourself, some feelings of bad self-worth and all those things that came. Because the enemy has come to lie to you, to hold you back in that, in bondage in that situation. But say, Lord, forgive me for I believing the lie. Can you just say that out loud? Forgive me for believing the lie. And then just speak out what you think the lie is that you've believed. Yeah, the lie that I'm not worth anything. Well, the lie that I'm not safe and I'll never be safe. The lie that no one cares about me. Well, just break off that lie off of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Wow, that the enemy's tried to put on us, that we believe. Say, Lord, forgive me that I believe that lie. And I want to now receive your truth, Lord. How do you feel about me, Lord? And then just listen to see what he says. He wants to show you things. He wants to show you how he saw you at that time you were hurt, how he felt about you when you were wounded. He wants to know how precious you are to him. Just let him speak it into your heart. Just let it go in. When he speaks out to you, just let it go into your heart. Well, he says you never need to be afraid because he's always going to be with you. He says he is your hiding place from the storm and the rain and the heat of the day. He's your refuge. Well, that when you thought you had to run and hide and close yourself off in order to protect yourself, he said he's just calling you and calling you, saying, no, come to me instead. Let me be your hiding place. Let me be your refuge and your safe place. Can you choose to run to him? To run to him. Run into his arms of love and receive his healing love for you. Let him take away your fears. He says his love drives away all fear. He wants to bring peace, deep, deep peace into the depths of your being by the power of his Holy Spirit. As he pours it into you, deep, deep down. Let him speak truth into your innermost being to replace those lies. Peace. Peace. Wow. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let it go in, Lord. Let it go in. Thank you.
Now, we're not going to have a formal closing to this morning, but we just bless you to go when you feel you're ready. Please feel free to come up and get some prayer if you'd like any at all.